Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, The Haunted Farm Part 2. More stories from the land of the Bloody Bender family.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, if you have a real ghost story, we want to hear it. Call in at any time, 855-853-4802. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want an ad-free version of the show, along with advanced episodes, access to the archive, become a premium subscriber. Do that through Apple Podcasts. Get it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And as you can tell, Kathy had no idea what this episode was going to be about.
I'm so excited. We are serious, you guys, when we say we want to know more, tell us more, or we have questions about it. Write them in. Send us the answers to our questions or fill us in on that background information and we'll bring it back up because we love this stuff.
I know. So if you haven't listened to the episode, and I do believe it was called The Haunted Farm. So that we went did a deep dive in the Bloody Bender family that lived in Kansas in the 1800s, and they were brutal. They're basically serial killers. I should remove the word basically. They were serial killers. And they don't even know that they were doing it for money necessarily. It almost sounds like they were doing it for thrills. So if you haven't listened to that episode, make sure you give that one a listen and then listen to this one, because this one is just a little bit more about things that happened on that property. Because I think in the last episode, she said it was like 160 acres or something like that. So it was a big amount of land.
Yeah, that sounds
it's
right.
Really close to where Kathy lives, actually, about how far south? 40 miles
maybe
south of you?
30.
So there's some creepy stories that happened on that land. So we were just kind of, when you and I were talking about it, that maybe, do they have anything to do with the hauntings that still go on this property? And, you know, and or was it some of the people who were there? Because some brutal things happened.
Well, and,
land.
You know, I was thinking about that, too, after that we did that episode. And I was thinking, okay, so they dug up, what did we think? How many people? And then there were body parts, too, right?
Right. I think we were thinking around 12 to 15 people. But how do
That's
you know?
That's who they found.
How do you know how many people they killed? People are traveling
Maybe they
through.
Threw people in a wagon and drove over 5 miles or 2 miles and buried them over there. Who knows?
You have no idea who was traveling through. Because back in those days, it's not like you're like, hey, pick up your cell phone, I'm leaving. These people, they're out there. There's no communication for a long time.
Well, and you wouldn't even expect it.
And you wouldn't,
like, you wouldn't think twice about not hearing from someone for 6 months.
Yeah, and then if they traveled several hundred miles over this period of time, they started in Denver or going to Kansas City. Where did they disappear on the way? I don't know. But anyway, so it's pretty interesting. She wrote back in and said, love your show, and thanks for doing my story about the haunted farm. I want to add some and tell a few quick encounters. The Bender homestead actually sold a few years ago once the gentleman that owned the property passed. It isn't close to the rest area where the sign is that you were talking about, because there is a marker that Kathy has stopped and looked at before. So apparently the homestead was a little ways away from that marker.
Okay. Yeah.
Because if you put it where it was, nobody's ever going to drive by. So they put it on a roadside marker. You pull over and you read it. It's like, near this land.
Right, right.
The museum in Cherryvale has an actual Bender hammer found at the homestead, which means it could have been used in one of those attacks.
Wow.
Another rumor was that the posse chased the family towards Thayer, and they met their fate or escaped by Thayer Lake. So, but they have no idea what happened to the family. That's what makes it so interesting, too. Did they die quickly? Did they move to who knows where and continue murdering people? I don't know.
Was there a shootout or anything?
No, they chased the family north towards Thayer, and they met their fate or escaped by Thayer Lake. So maybe they thought...
Maybe they drowned.
Maybe. Or they escaped.
Okay.
The farmhouse on the Finley farm is now gone, the one that she talked about working at. I forgot to add that the farmhouse was always cold, even in the summer's heat. Total rumor, but I was told that there used to be a huge tree on the Finley farm that was said used to hang a woman that was rumored to be practicing witchcraft. The tree stood on the other parcel used by another farmer for pasture. Again, just a rumor, but there was a huge stump out in the pasture. That wouldn't be unusual. You know, back then they were like, witch,
mm-hmm.
get rid of mm-hmm. the witch.
And also, when she talked about that farm, it had that kind of dark energy mm-hmm. about it
mm-hmm.
that could have come from something like this, yeah. don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
That could explain those dark, dark 7-foot, 8-foot shadows that she talked about.
And if you think that the witch trials of Salem, Massachusetts were the only ones, no, they were going on all over. And in fact, there is a town up around Burlington, Kansas. It's kind of south of Topeka.
That's kind of in my neck of the woods, too.
There's a portal to hell there, and it's near a church. And all of a sudden, I'm so close to saying the name of it. There was a woman who got pregnant by the pastor at the church. He obviously didn't want to admit that he had impregnated this woman and she was carrying his child. So when she started to show, he pulled the witch card. And the whole town was like, oh, yeah, witch. And so they hanged her that very day.
And are you kidding me?
Yeah,
now, how long ago would you say that was?
It was in the 1800s, I believe. Late 1800s.
Okay. Late 1800s.
I'm just going to say Kansas portal to hell. Whoever does a forensic dive on my computer is going to be like, this girl is weird. In a cemetery. Let's see. It is Stoll Cemetery. Stoll, Kansas.
Stoll, Kansas. Okay.
And so they have a cemetery, and it is kind of between Topeka and Lawrence, just south of there, about halfway between Topeka and Lawrence, just south of there.
Okay.
And this guy told me on the Grave Talks, I interviewed him, he said that even the Pope of the Catholic Church, when he visited the U.S., they will not fly him over Kansas.
Over Kansas at
all? Because of the portal to hell. Isn't that
so
crazy?
We are all walking around this portal to hell and it's that dangerous?
Well, you know,
the Pope is just letting us do it.
Well, I mean, really, he's the Pope. Does he really care about us?
Well, you would think he would, right? You would think he'd go, not only do I not fly over the portal to hell, but I don't think y'all should live around it either. You know,
nobody does. The whole town is just like, is gone to nothing. It's just basically a ghost town. But apparently people, this is well known, the Stoll Cemetery in Stoll, Kansas, and people still go there and try to find the grave. And you can find it. The guy found it. And it was WITTCH and two separate stones.
But they let her be buried in a Christian cemetery?
Well, it's kind of out.
When she was killed for
witchcraft? I don't know
witchcraft?
That it was a Christian cemetery. They just buried her out there.
But that would maybe be sacred ground, a cemetery. That really strikes me odd.
The pastor could do for her. He's like, yeah, let's let her be buried.
Well, hadn't done enough already,
right?
I think.
Because then he was showing what a wonderful, great guy full of mercy.
Oh, seriously.
Yeah. So anyway, back to this story and not the portal to hell in Kansas. This story happened around the same time in 2014 during wheat harvest. We had farmland and pasture about 8 miles south of Cherryvale. The combine had clogged and broken apart. I can't remember what. Another guy was called to bring the part needed. Being farmers, we fixed the problem with duct tape and baling wire until help came.
I love that.
And that is truly what they would do.
Yes.
By the time the part arrived, it was well after midnight, and we worked by headlights, also something they would do. After fighting with it for about an hour, we loaded it up to head back to the shop. We had a truck with a header in front, two semis loaded, and then me and the owner in the last truck. We had to follow the last semi close because there was a short in the lights and we didn't want someone running into him. We were going down a dirt road with trees on each side. There wasn't even a car length between us. Something dark, brown, and about 6 feet tall ran between the trucks and actually hit the passenger side corner. Me and the owner looked at each other and go, "That wasn't no deer. What the hell was it?" We go back to the shop and everyone went home. The next morning, my husband and I looked at the truck for damage. There wasn't any. Yet, there was a tuft of dark brown coarse fur on the grill. I still wonder what we almost hit. Thoughts? Second one, and we'll go back to thoughts on that. Second one, this happened again on one of the farms. This was about a mile north of the Finley farm. There was a large open field on the other side pasture with cattle. The end of the field was surrounded by woods. This happened several times, and I wasn't the only one that saw what I'm about to share. I saw it three times and always about sunset. In the woods west of the field, I would see a shadow go back and forth through the trees. After a few passes, there would be two, then three, then four, but never more than four, always moving at the same speed. One of the hired hands called the boss, and he drove up to the field where he saw it, and he said it was just shadows moving with the trees. Quit being a crybaby. When I saw this, I always felt something very wrong and dangerous. The shadows would appear any time of the year, but always close to sunset. One time, I even drove the tractor up to the end of the field to see if something could possibly be moving to cause the shadows. I found nothing, and it was really hard to walk back there. The trees were dense and had a lot of thorns. I've since moved from the area and miss working on the farm. I do believe I'm a sensitive and possibly an empath, and things are drawn to me. I still have many more stories. It's great to hear other people's experiences and stories. So what do you think that was that ran out and somehow made it between the two vehicles and left fur on the grill of the car? I'm assuming that's where they...
Okay, and they just absolutely did not think it was a deer, right?
Correct. Wasn't no deer. What the hell was that? So there was a tuft of dark brown coarse fur on the grill. And you know, here's the thing that makes you think. It seems like every state has some kind of Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one in Missouri, the Momo something. Momo Monster, something like that. So there's, you know, all these various kind of relatives of Bigfoot. And I mean, there certainly could be something out there. There's a lot of land around these parts that it would be hard to find something if there wasn't a herd of them.
I tell you, it would be super creepy because it is really dark out here. You know, it's hard to imagine if you live in towns and live in cities where there's always streetlights and there is some light. But you get out into the countryside, out into rural America, and it is just absolutely pitch black at night if the moon is not up, and you cannot see.
Yeah, that's the only light you're getting is the moon. And so if there's no moon,
you can't see.
Black.
And if you're down in these areas where she was talking about the trees, right, a heavily wooded area, it's even worse. Mm-hmm. And so you might have some headlights on a vehicle or something, but I'm telling you what, that's not much light. You know, I don't know. And you're right. Could it have been some sort of Bigfoot type of critter? And like you said, they talk about this one in Missouri. Well, we are almost in Missouri.
And then Bigfoot's, as far as the shadows at sunset, I don't know. You know, like the one guy is like, "Oh, quit being a crybaby. Just shadows moving with the trees." But I don't know. If you're seeing something and it seems to repeat itself, says there would be two, three, then four passes of these shadows going back and forth, but never more than four. The shadows would be continually there. And why would they be going back and forth, back and forth? I don't know. I just think this land is creepy. There's something going on with the land. And the fact that it was so close to where the bloody Benders lived, it just makes you think.
I agree. And I do think, did she say what her name is? Our listener on this one? I mean, she might not have. But I think she's right. I do think she is sensitive to this and has that empathetic kind of feel about things. Like she said, it felt wrong. And I think that's the barometer.
And I don't know if I totally believe in the Bigfoot, Momo monster sort of things, but there's a lot of people who do.
And then sometimes you have this, and I don't know what other explanation you have for something that's 6 feet tall.
If you have the Bloody Bender family killing people, back in the day, there would have been some horrific fight, especially in that area. They call it Bloody Kansas for a reason. Mm-hmm. Back in the 1860s. Mm-hmm. There was some really horrific fighting went on in Kansas in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got Indians that were just treated horribly and massacred.
Yeah.
You know, there was some horrific fighting. So when you just think about that land, there's a lot. And then maybe, possibly, a woman was hanged as being a witch.
Mm-hmm.
All in that area.
Yeah. There's a, and those are the ones we're just throwing out. There's a lot more than that.
So it's like, why wouldn't that be? I don't know.
Well, I hope she'll write in even more of her stories because we love them. They're really good ones.
Agreed. And if you like the show and want an ad-free experience, sign up to be a premium subscriber. Do that through Apple Podcasts, right? 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories. You can also sign up at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks so much for listening.